Today, we're talking again about HIV/AIDS and how it affects particular communities in particular ways. We focus on a report that gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men represent 2% of the U.S. population, but they are the group most severely affected by HIV/AIDS, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. You might hear the term MSM in this conversation. That means simply men who have sex with men. And government numbers show that men who have sex with men, or MSM, are the only demographic group with a steady increase in new HIV infections since the early 1990s. To pinpoint one particular area, today we're looking at Milwaukee County in Wisconsin, where state health department officials estimate that up to 41% of black men who have sex with men are infected with HIV. We wanted to know more, so we've called upon Lonel McGrath. He's 32 years old, he's bisexual, he's African-American, he was diagnosed with HIV in 2001, but he decided to come forward and he participated in a profile in the local paper that brought new attention to this important issue. We're also joined by Phil Wilson, who's been with us before to help us understand issues around HIV and AIDS, and he's the president and CEO of the Black AIDS Institute. Thank you both so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Michelle, for having us.
Lonel, could we start with you? Could you just tell us how you first understood that you were HIV positive?
I was filling out for life insurance, and they did a swab for me, and it came back I was positive. And the first thing, I'm like, no, it's not true. So I was very, like, kind of mad and trying to figure out why and how it happened. But I had my close friends and family there for me for support when I found out.
So, you know, one of the things I'm curious about, Lonel, is that you're 32. You're just 32. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And this epidemic is 25 years old. So your entire adult life has been lived in with, you know, the awareness that HIV/AIDS exists in the world. And I'm wondering whether, and I know I'm getting personal, but
did you
take any precautions to protect yourself?
I thought I did, but I guess I didn't.
You think you were probably inconsistent?
Yes. I knew a lot about before I was diagnosed positive, but I still knew a whole lot about HIV because I worked with youth. But I think I didn't go by the word that I was teaching. I was, like, telling people, I'm saying to wrap up, I'm saying to use condoms, but I wasn't doing it.
And why do you think that is? You think it's just, you just didn't take it seriously? You didn't think it had anything to do with you?
No. I was with a partner at that time, and I was, like, very faithful to that person. And it was like, okay, I'm going to stop using protection. So, you know, I was like, to show the person how much I would care about that person. But I guess I took the wrong step.
Phil Wilson, let's bring you into the conversation. Is this a story that you are hearing?
Well, sadly, Lonel's story is repeated hundreds of times every day. Now, at the Black AIDS Institute, we get these calls every single day from people who just found out that they're HIV positive. Either they didn't know how to protect themselves, didn't understand really what HIV was all about, or didn't think their lives were worth protecting. It's absolutely outrageous that 41% of black men who have sex with men in Milwaukee are already HIV positive. That means that in Milwaukee, if you're a black man who have sex with men, you are more likely to be HIV positive than if you live in Soweto, South Africa. And that is absolutely unacceptable.
You know, one of the things that I'm curious about, too, is that the stereotype is that men who have sex with men are the most educated about the illness, that they've been the most aggressive in, you know, advocacy, kind of on the front lines in this country of advocacy around this issue, of pushing the research community to address this issue. Do you know what I'm saying, Phil? So that's
absolutely
why, you know, all the more reason why I think that a lot of people would be puzzled to see these numbers that indicate that this is the group with whom infections are increasing rapidly. Why do you think that is?
Well, there are a few things. One is, while there is truth to that statement, in some ways, that's an old group. You know, I'm going to be 54 this year. And certainly my contemporaries, you know, we spent a lot of time of educating ourselves. But Michelle, it's been 15 years, maybe even 20 years since we have had robust HIV/AIDS and sex education in our schools. There's a whole generation of adults who have been denied that information because we have been fiddling while Rome was burning by advocating abstinence-only programs, for example. The second thing is that over time, people have fallen into complacency. They believe that it's not going to happen to me, like Linnell. You know, they believe that if I am faithful to my partner, then that will protect me. Forget that your partner may not be faithful to you, or forget to the fact that both you and your partner have a history.
And to that point, Linnell, I wanted to ask, when you first became aware of your diagnosis, did you tell anybody?
Yes, I did. I told about like 4 or 5 people.
Former or current partners?
No, that was former.
Former partners. So you called former partners of yours to tell them, and what happened?
And like 2 of them, they would get tested. Then 2 more, they kind of denied it. So then one person, you know what I'm saying, they didn't care.
What do you mean they didn't care?
They did not want to go get tested. Like, if I got it, I got it. So that's like very confusing to me. Like, why don't you want to get tested? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm positive, and I'm trying to figure out, I'm saying, not where I got it from, but I want to make sure that you're okay.
We're talking with Phil Wilson of the Black AIDS Institute and Linnell McGrath, who was recently profiled in the Milwaukee papers, about the whole phenomenon of HIV/AIDS, and we're particularly focusing on men who have sex with men. They're the group most severely affected by HIV/AIDS, according to recent data. And we're focusing our attention on young Black men who are affected most severely. What do you think, Phil, needs to happen now to address this illness? I think that most people would agree that at least the initial response to the disease was colored by judgments about who was getting it.
I think that certainly stigma continues to play a role. Tragically, the kind of who is being stigmatized has moved some. First, it was gay and bisexual men writ large. Now it has become African-Americans writ large, and Black women and Black men who have sex with men specifically. And so that has certainly colored, if you will, our response to the AIDS epidemic. But to get to it, you know, we still are not doing the work about truly raising awareness and educating people about the facts around HIV. There's still a large percentage of people who believe that HIV is transmitted through casual contact, which it is not. There are people who believe that you can look at someone and determine if they're HIV positive, which you cannot. Now, and so we need to do work around educating folks and kind of bring it down to things that people can do. You can get tested, know your own HIV status, and know the HIV status of your partner. We can make sure that people protect themselves. HIV is, while it is still a very serious disease, it is 100% preventable, it is 100% diagnosable, and it is highly treatable.
But that's my other question, is perhaps is it part of the issue the other way, is that people think that it is curable and that that's easy?
I certainly think that that is a problem in some populations. But as someone who's been living with HIV, as you know, for 30 years now, let me tell everyone who's listening today, it's better not to have it. So while there are treatments available, and the treatments are absolutely much better than they were, the medications are expensive, upwards to $14,000 to $20,000 a month for the medications, depending on what you're on. Many people can't afford them. So it is not a walk in the park.
Let me ask Linnell, what do you do to take care of yourself now?
I'm not on pills right now. I'm just eating right, exercising, make sure I get my rest. Make sure that I'm not stressed, you know, because stress, I'm saying, is not a good thing for people who are positive. So I make sure that I'm trying to be stress-free.
And Phil Wilson, final thought from you. I am interested in the ways in which what you've observed over the years that you've been working in this area, how policy affects this. What do you think is the major issue here?
You know, it's interesting. We're having this conversation as our Congress is debating repealing the Health Care Reform Act that was enacted last year. And each of us needs to understand that the policy activities that happens in Washington, D.C. impacts our lives. You know, what happened with the Affordable Care Act of last year, it eliminated pre-existing conditions. That meant that insurance companies could no longer discriminate against people living with HIV on the basis of their HIV status. It expanded access to prescription drugs. That's also very important for people living with HIV. And it allowed families to carry their adult children up to the age age of 26. We know that upwards of 30% of the new HIV/AIDS cases in this country are among young people. These are all real policy issues.
Lynn, I'm going to ask a final question of you. Since you did take this bold step of allowing yourself to be profiled in the Milwaukee paper, have people treated you differently? I know you had an earlier, some sad experiences early where people you'd been close to distanced themselves from you when your status became known. But what about now, now that you've really gone public?
People now, they calling me, like people I didn't know that who read the paper, they say, wow, I'm like surprised that you did the article. Now people, they say they're stepping up now because they see me doing it. People now, it's going to get tested now. People like calling me like, wow, I feel get tested because I seen your article.
Well, that's so good. That must feel good.
It do. It really do.
The silence does much more harm than speaking out. And it is important to speak truth to power.
Phil Wilson is the president and CEO of the Black AIDS Institute. He joined us from our studios in Culver City, California. Lynell McGrath is HIV positive. He was recently profiled in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he was with us from member station WUWM in Milwaukee. I thank you both so much for speaking with us. And Lynell, our very best to you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Michelle, for making sure that this issue does not go away.
Coming up, our look at reproductive and sexual health care issues continues. We wonder why the incidence of HPV, the virus that causes cervical cancer, is highest among Latinas.
You know, you don't go to the doctor unless you're sick. And had I never gotten pregnant and gone in to go get prenatal care, I would have never found the HPV or the cervical cancer.
Myths and facts on HPV and cervical cancer, information every woman needs to know. That's just ahead on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.